This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
Happy National Thomas Jefferson Day. It's Thomas Jefferson's birthday. Happy birthday, Tom.
Well, yeah, happy birthday, Tom. Where's the celebration?
I kind of had one over the weekend. I went to a little party for Thomas Jefferson, and it was fun. So
there you go.
I celebrated.
That's right.
I did.
Well, and I'm sure we're going to wrap some of this all into that 250th birthday coming up this summer.
Heck yeah, it's a big deal. You know, all the states, they've got committees in them and stuff like that. So if you do want to get involved, I know that there are 250 celebration groups in, and especially like probably tied in with your county GOP if you want to get connected up with that, because it's going to be a bash for the 4th of July this year, a huge bash.
Yeah, big. And of course, I'm sure we'll also have those protesters, and knowing it's Oregon, we'll have that anti-fireworks mentality. But hey,
yeah,
we're going to celebrate.
Yeah. Whatever, bus driver, whatever. Also, real quick, want to remind everybody, if you do miss our show live, you can always catch us on all the streaming platforms. We are on Spotify. We are on iHeart. TuneIn. Oh, my gosh. Apple. Yeah, all of it. And we'd love it if you would subscribe to us. Leave us 5 stars. You can always catch that up. Producer Dave has been really great about getting them up within an hour after we're done, usually within about 20 minutes. He's doing it. He's good.
There you go. We're getting out there. Spread the word because, you know, we talk about those things well beyond Oregon on occasion.
Well, we do, because, I mean, if you're out there consuming the news, there's a lot of stuff that has to do with Oregon. We try to be, you know, Oregon-centric a lot of times. But some days there's stuff like, you know, Artemis 2 isn't Oregon-centric, but everybody, I'm sure, you know, all of us space nerds were watching it. Did you watch the splashdown?
I didn't.
It was like on the pins and needles. Oh, my God, here they come. And they're counting it down. And it's like, ah.
I didn't get to watch it live. I did watch some replay video of it.
We had it on and I'm like, okay, now they're going to get the front porch connected. And then you're watching them come out. And I mean, it was just the whole mission was so amazing. That whole crew is a rock star, our rock stars. I mean, the whole thing was just amazing. And I love how it sort of ignited a fire. I was chatting with my son and daughter-in-law. They had it on and they were watching it. And we were all like, you know, when they first took off, you're like, if you're Jen Jones, Gen X, you were on pins and needles until they got to a certain point. And then they're like, okay, I can exhale now. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the same way coming back down, you're like, oh, yes. Okay, good. They're safe.
Well, you know, one of the things I was seeing a little bit is, you know, kind of give us the warning that first like set of what looks like parachutes is coming out and just getting released.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
a lot of people were going, what? Oh, no, the parachutes are gone.
Is that a malfunction? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. We actually started watching. I don't know if you've seen that. It's an Apple show, For All Mankind.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically the story of an alternate timeline. The Russians beat us to the moon in the 60s. So it's an alternate timeline. So we started watching that again. It's actually pretty good. It's a little woke, but it's pretty good. So anyway, that was fun. Also, something else breaking this weekend. We follow a lot of citizen journalists. We follow Honey Badger Mom, Katie Davis Court. Another one that is out there on the front lines is Savannah Hernandez, who was all of, what, 5'2", 120 pounds?
Maybe.
And she's out there. This woman is brave. And she was out there, I believe, and it was Minneapolis. She was in Minnesota. And she was just cutting some B-roll, just out there, you know, filming, not getting in anybody's face. And all of a sudden, a crowd surrounded her. And she was really aggressively, seriously assaulted. And it's all on camera from a multiple of angles. And that went really viral over the weekend when it turns out who shoved her was this big, fat toad of a human being who probably 200 pounds, 5 foot or 6 foot something, just like shoved her hard to the ground, broke her glasses.
I watched that video and I am just saying, because it wasn't her video, it was actually a bystander's video,
right,
where you could actually see this all occur. And I'm going, the look in this guy's eyes the sheer hatred and anger, I'm going, this guy, if he had a weapon in his hands, is going to kill people. This guy needs to be removed from the streets immediately and probably never let back out. Just looking at the intent in him at a small Hispanic woman.
Yeah. And then do the same with his wife and his daughter. because they had the same look. And there's another daughter out there who had posted that she's absolutely appalled by all of this and embarrassed and just thinks it's absolutely horrible. There are calls for her, for Savannah to sue this guy. I think she should. Mm-hmm. This stuff has got to stop. These are the same people that, you know, normal people just following orders, just going along, just, you know, then they relish these crazy, creepy, evil people who can hide behind a mask in normal times. You put a wartime in there, and I think you know where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. They will strap on a gun and they will brutalize their fellow citizens at the drop of a hat, and they'll love every minute of it. That's the look I saw in that guy's eyes.
Yeah, that guy definitely, you could see him as a concentration prison guard and just abusing people that he views as below him.
Well, and we've got to stop that. And then that creep that broke into the church, that gravelly voiced idiot who decided to sing in the church, who's been arrested numerous times, who's been incarcerated, he was there too. So, you know, you're just watching that video and you could see them starting to whip up and whip up. And she stayed there. And Honey Badger Mom was out there talking about it on X because she's been assaulted, I believe, three times. Katie Davis Court has been assaulted mm-hmm. a number of times. This needs to stop. These people need to be held accountable. But, you know, again, you're looking at it as like, is anything going to happen to this creep? Is anything going to happen to his wife and daughter? It's already been, she's a student at some school or whatever. Is she going to be expelled for this? Is that somebody you want representing your school? These people are monsters.
Well, I just sit here and go, and there's a running theme with all of this. They assault smaller, usually women, because gosh yep. darn, these beta males, they need to feel superior some which way or another. And I mean, the process just keeps repeating itself. Kudos to these women for being stronger than these men are and out yeah. there putting themselves on the line.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really getting dangerous, and it keeps ramping up. And of course, with summer coming, we're going to see more of this. Yeah, she actually tweeted today, I woke up with a headache and a stiff neck this morning due to how violently, and she mentions his name. I'm not going to mention the name. It's all over the place online. A second angle shows that he had to be held back by five men as he continued to charge me. I didn't speak a word to him all day, yet he repeatedly called me a B word, and very clearly looks like he wanted to violently hurt me even worse than he did. Mm-hmm. She said, I'm happy to report that charges will be brought against this man, his wife, and his daughter. That's what needs to happen. Unfortunately, she had to be violently assaulted like this and terrorized like this. And again, she had no interaction with him. Mm-hmm. Dude just pops out of nowhere and shoves her.
Yeah. And that's par for the course from this kind of behavior. I mean, you see it every time there is any instance like this. It's usually from the back. They're not willing to confront people face to face because they are cowards deep down. And
always in a crowd.
Yep. And then they, you know, quickly hustle back into the crowd to try and get lost and not held accountable. And unfortunately, happening in Minneapolis, I don't have a whole lot of faith in the court system, which is why not only do they need criminal charges, but also probably a lawsuit.
Yes, yes. And, you know, and if this happens in Salem, if it happens in Portland, there need to be charges. People need to press charges and they need to sue them. And that's kind of the call on this is sue them. These are the same clowns that harass moms in Target for not wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. They're the same ones that will berate a woman alone trying to do her grocery shopping in Fred Meyer for going the wrong way with the arrows during COVID. It's all the same people. Like you said, these beta males, they're just absolute creeps, but they're emboldened by the mob.
Well, and they're the same ones that will, I mean, let's take it out of any kind of political setting. These are the ones where if your daughter accidentally cuts them off in traffic, or they even presume they've been cut yeah. off in traffic, they are willing to follow a female driver. They won't do it if there's a man in the car, but they will do it to a female driver, whether it's physically try to confront them or yell at them and scream at them or try and actually run them off the road. I've seen all of these videos. My wife's been through this a time or two. My daughter's been through it a time or two. These people need to be, you know, cut down and taken out of society if they can't control themselves.
Yeah, and you need to be able to protect yourself, because a lot of what we're also seeing too, especially in larger cities, are these people that are just randomly, they'll kind of be walking by nonchalantly and all of a sudden it's a cold cock, it's a knockout, mm-hmm. and you're just knocked down. I don't know how, it's hard to defend yourself against that, but you're seeing a lot of, you know, just abuse, and it's mainly of women. A lot of the shoving people onto MAX trains or shoving people on, I mean, there's crazies out there, and they're being emboldened because they know in almost every case, nothing's going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm. because we have become a society where consequences are just mean to these people, I guess. I don't know, but we need to end it now. And we need to see people in the positions of power, whether it's the police or the DAs, that are willing to confront this plague head on.
Yeah, mercy to the guilty is cruelty to the innocent. And we are completely upside down. And we knew that this was coming. We are completely upside down where they're protecting people like this. But I think this is such an outrage because of all the angles and all the video angles on it that I think this one may cross over where you're going to have a larger cry for some kind of consequences. I'm hoping. I don't know, though. Our society has become so broken.
I think because of the widespread on this, and I did see, I think it was Jen Psaki actually had him on to interview him. And I'm just sitting here going,
making the rounds.
So virtually this is going to get enough publicity where if he is not at least charged and put in front of a judge in Minneapolis, there is going to be massive outrage. Second, I fully suspect being Minneapolis, even if he's found guilty, it's going to be a slap on the wrist.
Yeah. Well, looking at the thread here that she posted again, Councilwoman, New York City Councilwoman from the Borough of Queens, Vicky Palladino, this is why I carry a gun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being able to protect yourself if you don't want to carry a gun, a Brenna launcher, kinetic rounds and pepper spray, have something to protect yourself. One good round of kinetic round probably would have stopped this creep. But again, when you're surrounded by the mob, that's a whole different animal. We all have seen mob mentality. You can see mob mentality on the streets. You can see it in council meetings. It emboldens people who normally wouldn't do what you see them doing. So beware the mob. Mm-hmm. Beware the mob. All right, let's go ahead and take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Salem Clinic Urgent Care.
Okay, we got to talk about Eric Swalwell. Sorry, I threw up a little in my mouth just even saying the name. This guy has grossed me out since the second I first saw him. He is,
you watch the guy talk and you can almost feel the slime coming out of him.
Well, you know, and we always knew it. Mm-hmm. He always knew it. The Democrats always knew it. Now, surprise, surprise. Oh, my gosh. All of these things are coming to light. He must pull out of the California primary. No, it's because he's third in the jungle primary, and they really can't have Steve Hilton win that thing. So that's the only reason why. So he's slimy and smarmy enough, and they're putting out all the allegations of him, which just go out online anywhere. You can see them all. We don't have to rehash them. But somehow he's not slimy and gross and despicable enough to resign from Congress. That's starting to shift now because he has dropped out of the race. He put out some stupid statement. He's going to, you know, like OJ, I'm going to look for the real killers. Uh-huh. I'm going to fight these, you know, these lies and everything. Yeah, okay, Eric. Bye.
Yeah, so virtually he was running for governor, or he's not anymore.
He was the top Dem.
Yeah, so running for governor for the state of California in his free time while he's still sitting congressman, where a lot of times if you're going to be running for another position like that, you would resign your seat. But yeah, no, he's keeping his backup plan right in place. And like I said, he's now pulled out of the governor's race, but he's still sitting in his congressional seat.
And he's on some high-powered committees that he has no business being on, because we all remember Fang Fang. And, of course, mm-hmm. I love Glenn Beck's song about Fang Fang. It's catchy. I don't know if you hear it. He actually played it in Toto today on his show, and it's actually a really good song. But the whole Fang Fang thing, which we all know about. So he is now he's now out of the race, which shifts things up in the jungle primary. And, and a lot of people have been putting a lot of pressure on the Dems, who, you know, all of a sudden are like, oh, this is terrible what he's done. But we are starting to see some calls for him to resign from Congress. And surprisingly, I saw this tweet from Oregon Congresswoman Andrea Salinas today. This was at 9:35 this morning, saying Rep. Swalwell must resign. Read my statement. So, OK, let's read her statement. She says, quote, a Congressman Swalwell must resign. The allegations against him are serious, credible, and demand accountability. Protecting the integrity of the House also means protecting the staff who keep it running. As a former staffer, I understand the pressure of that environment and the responsibility leaders have to ensure it is safe and professional. No woman should have to choose between her career and coming forward with allegations of abuse. Fear of retaliation or blacklisting has no place in Congress. These cases lay bare a deeper failure. Congress lacks the mechanism mechanisms needed to address and prevent misconduct within its own ranks. That is unacceptable. The halls of power must not be a place where predators are shielded by inaction. Accountability is not optional, it's essential. I agree with her on the sort of the tone and what she's saying in this, but of course there are ways, there are mechanisms in place to do this. You all just chose to look the other way because he was useful to you. So don't play games with me and try to gaslight us.
Yeah, my first thought is, wait a second, didn't just like a month or so ago you guys hold a vote on whether you would make public all of the allegations that have been made against elected officials, and you more than likely, because I don't think any Democrats voted for it, voted against it.
Yeah.
So the mechanisms are there, but you chose to vote against them, number one. Number two, now as I think about this, the strategery behind this, these allegations against him, and why would a Democrat who, you know, has another useful idiot Democrat with her choose to flip the script on him? Well, he's going to have to get reelected to that seat, and these allegations aren't going to go away. He's having to withdraw from the California primary because of them. His reelection campaign, he will likely have to withdraw from that at that point. So I sit here and go, is this a strategic thing of convince him to go ahead and step down and fill his replacement, so then you have the ability to run a unencumbered person sitting already in that seat at the next election?
Yeah, it's never really about doing what's right or about the women that she claims, you know, she professes. And again, I don't know her mind, but it's just Democrats in general. If you're useful, they'll keep you around. He was useful until he wasn't. And now, I mean, this has been an absolute brutal slaying of this guy's political career, because I think his career is over. Mm-hmm. And I think he should be voted out. He should be exiled. He should be sent to the Isle of Misfit Toys and never to be heard from again. The guy is an absolute creeper, and they've all known it all along. So statements like this, well, okay, sure. But they lay bare the cynicism and the fact that they really all did know.
Well, let's go back to the reality. It is widely known public knowledge that he had a Chinese spy as a staffer that he also had an affair with. Mm-hmm. What? How many years ago now?
Been a while.
And yet he was never forced to withdraw from even, you know, positions where he had a whole lot of access to information. We don't want the Chinese to get until Trump kicked him out, you know, until the Trump administration came back and got him out of that. So I'm just sitting here going, so the slimy things you know about him already weren't enough to make you go, he doesn't belong here. You wait till, you know, the allegations start coming fast and furious, which is how they always do. One woman gets the strength to say something, and all of a sudden the rest come out of the woodwork. And I just sit here and go, this is, well-known information amongst Democrat inner circles.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't care because he was a loudmouth Trump opponent.
Yep. And now there's a lot of video coming out, and they should really blur it with a watch at your own risk, because it's nauseating to look at it. And again, there's his old yearbook photo coming out where he's got his little blonde just looks like, you know, we all knew those guys in high school.
Yeah, he reminds me of those. Just his look. It is the, I have never been held accountable for my actions. I do whatever I want, and somebody's there to cover for me and take care of anything that were to possibly come out of it.
Yep. And also victims of this are his wife and kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just despicable too. I mean, so this guy should never be allowed near public office again. I think they should vote to boot his butt. Don't let him resign. Vote him out. Get him out. Yeah. And do it now. And so it'll be interesting to see Steve Hilton again, who is he's the top guy in the jungle primary. And again, jungle primary, ranked choice voting. It's whoever just sort of bubbles up to the top, the top two. And the Democrats could not have two Democrats or two Republicans at the top. That's the only reason why this happened. That's it. They didn't all of a sudden grow concerned about all the women. It's like, no.
No. Heck, they can't even define a woman more often than not. So what makes you think they can care about them? Come on.
Yeah. So, you know, and I don't know, I'm hoping people are seeing this, but, you know, I'm really, and I know we're almost to the bottom of the hour, but I want to talk about this on the other side as far as the political bubbles that people live in and how they just don't see what's really not outside their bubble. Because I know there are a lot of people who continue to vote Democrat who probably aren't even aware that any of this is going on, because they're not paying attention. But this is the Democrat Party, and this is who they protect, and this is who they elevate. Because they Schiff was out there elevating them. They all endorsed him. They were enthusiastic. And now all of a sudden it's an about face because it's politically convenient and it's expedient to boot his butt out of there. So it's also gross.
Well, and the other big problem we have is because of the agenda of mainstream media outlets. This will not be a long segment on a CNN to talk or interview these women or anything else. This is going to be a quick mention. You know, Swalwell's dropped out of the Democrat, the governor's race in California. Moving on.
Yeah. Well, and where were they with, remember, Tara Reid, mm-hmm. with her pretty credible allegations about Joe Biden. And so whenever, you know, and the same thing with Joe Biden, he was useful until he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, and they're vicious. They're absolutely vicious. To watch the speed, if you were out on X, you could see sort of the evolution of from start to finish on this. And it was done with surgical precision.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, whoosh, you're gone.
Well, I would implore Andrea Salinas, especially after her public statement came out, maybe mm-hmm. she needs to be the one to present, let's vote on this thing again and let's make these allegations public news, because I think all the Democrats voted against it and the majority of the Republicans even voted against it. I'm sitting here going, you want transparency in government? Let's see what kind of people you really are when the mics aren't in front of you.
I think Republican Anna Paulina Luna is doing that and has got that before. Mm-hmm. And there's some, I don't know the timeline. I don't have that tweet up, but yeah. And it's been happening fast and furious all weekend. And it was really between that and what happened to Savannah Hernandez. It's like, you gotta know who these people are. They show you who they are every time. He didn't hide it really. Swalwell didn't hide it. This guy that assaulted Savannah did it on camera. They don't hide it. They're telling you who they are. Well, if you're continuing to vote for this party, I don't know what to say to you.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the blinders. And I think that's so much of it. And I'm getting there going, how do you convince people to open their eyes and check out a dose of reality?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're going to talk Oregon politics on the other side of the break. So come on back after the news.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All right, so I've been doing my little Orstar deep dive this week, and I kind of went out there Saturday to see where all the money was, and it's pretty much where it is. You've got Dudley in the lead, reigning Chris Dudley. I think total money in is around $2 million. Christine Drazen is next with 1 point something. Ed Deal, and then Danielle Bethel, who Ed Deal's in the hundreds of thousands, and I believe Danielle's around there too. Is it the KGW debate or one of the debates Medina did not make the cut, so he's not there anymore. And I think I was on a Twitter exchange this weekend with a lot of people who are like, he's the guy. A lot of people are out there saying no. This is all about boosting his click numbers and his social media presence. I don't know the guy. I wasn't impressed with how he did in that one debate. Mm-hmm. I thought he was sort of obnoxious in that debate. A lot of people are like, well, he's really strong conservative. To me, he's cliches and says a lot of nothing. He drops red meat out there, but I don't hear any policy. I think he should run for something else and get some policy experience underneath mm-hmm. him and then maybe temper the bulldoggedness, because that's off-putting to me.
I can understand why people like him and are excited about him, because out of all of them, he is the most outspoken. He is the one to be most in your face, which, as a Republican in Oregon, I would love to see more people be a little more bulldoggy in their mentality. At the same time, you have to recognize that if he were to get through the primaries and go head to head with Tina Kotek, the J6 narrative and the lack of policies and these other things are going to dismantle him to the point where you're not going to get a moderate voter to cast their ballot in his direction.
Yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, it's all moot, because he's not polling mm-hmm. in there. He doesn't have the money. I was out on, he's got some, not much. Yeah. So I don't think he's a player in this. I think really it's between Dudley, Drazen, and Deal, the triple D's, mm-hmm. the triple D's out there. They're now looking at this. You've got the prediction markets have exploded. This is an OPB article from today, actually, early this morning. What they can tell us about Oregon's hottest primary. Now, polls, we've talked about this with Jeff Reynolds, these betting polls where people mm-hmm. are putting their money on the line. Does that add more gravitas to the opinions being expressed in this because you're betting on it? Yes, yeah, maybe.
I'd say yes and no. One, if if you're confident enough to put your money on something, it tells you, okay, they believe that there is a good chance that this person is going to win this primary. On the other hand, in the world of betting, there are people that will go out and they'll put a small amount of money on a long shot yeah. with the idea that it's going to pay off. So that's where it comes down to, is figure out where that line is.
See, and I'm seeing a lot of and again, social media, I get it. It's not the real life. Most people are not on it. And that's another thing with Medina. He's got a huge social media following. He's great out there. A lot of videos go viral. He's got connections nationwide. He's got a lot of good connections out there. But I don't, in my opinion, that doesn't translate to the electorate and the real life, because most people are not, they don't know any of that. Mm-hmm. So what you do have, though, with Chris Dudley is you've got name recognition, former trailblazer. He ran against Kitzhaber in 2010, came extremely close then. But he's also a pro-choice, more moderate Republican. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have Christine Drazen, who ran in 2022. It was that three-way race. Betsy Johnson spoiled it, in my opinion. And I like Betsy personally, but she spoiled it. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, why she was there in the first place. And then you have Ed Diehl, who is, I think, a two-term representative, but he has the whole no tax thing, and he marshaled the grassroots. He, to me, is the grassroots candidate. Mm-hmm. However you feel about him, I think he really is marshaling the grassroots, and he is rising. And he, in this these polls, they had Drazen at a 44%, and one of them, Kalshi and Robin Hood, had Ed Diehl at a 48% on Sunday, and then they gave the other one gave him a 40, and you had Dudley bringing up the rear. So mm-hmm. it's kind of wild, wild west out there.
Yeah, and I would say, and part of that, it may be Dudley would be the safest bet. His money is there, and a lot of it's, I believe he got $1 million from Phil Knight, which is half of his representation. And it's interesting to kind of watch how they are spending the money. Unfortunately, Ed not having as much as the others, he's having to do more grassroots activities and get out there and meet people. Christine Drazen, I've seen a few ads for.
Yeah.
And I believe I did see a little thing. Chris Dudley was down in Eugene over the weekend, kind of scouring, because it is a major homeless hub and drug addiction hub, and talking to the homeless and seeing things from their perspective. So
there's been criticism leveled too. Yeah, I have seen them both out there, and they're using social media. There's been criticism leveled at Drazen and Dudley that they won't debate. And my understanding is they are going to do the ORP debate, and correct me if I'm wrong on that, but there's a threshold to a lot of these debates. But if you think about it from Drazen and Dudley's perspective, they both have the name recognition. They both have a pretty nice bankroll. They don't necessarily need to debate. And so by that token, if you're looking at it, well, they're just then giving free publicity to their direct challenger, Ed Diehl. Is it in their best interest to debate? What do they gain out of debating? Mm-hmm. And I said, not much, really.
Yeah. When you as much as we would love to see these three candidates sit down together, the three D's of the R's, and have that debate and see which ones, we think, one, align with our values the best, two, can actually stand the most fighting chance against the current governor. I'm sitting here going, it makes a lot of sense for Ed to do it, but for the other two, they both ran, close races relatively, and, both have a kind of a that little reason. I'm kind of going, and then the money's in their favor. Yeah, the last thing they would want to do is hit a debate stage and allow people in mass to see Ed Diehl kind of upstage them.
And Danielle Bethel mm-hmm. rocks it on the debate stage. I mean, every debate I've seen her in, she's the policy wonk in all of this. She lives it, because that, as a Marion County commissioner, she has made the threshold for that debate. So there will be the four of them on stage. And don't get me wrong, I think they should debate. Mm-hmm. I think that shows respect to the electorate, that you're going to put yourself out there. I also get scheduling conflicts. We know Oregon is a gigantic state. You can't be everywhere at once. And so I get that too. But I think, as respect to your electorate, I think every opportunity you have to debate, you could. But I do see why it isn't necessarily tops on the list for the two with the biggest name recognition and bankrolls.
Yeah.
I get that.
And, and that's the thing. I am a big proponent of the debates. I want to see more at the presidential level. I want to see more just about anywhere where there's a hotly contested thing, because I want to be able to compare apples to apples. you know, and they're not willing to get on the stage together. You're comparing apples to maybe oranges or pineapples or, you know, whatever fruit you want to say, because you just don't know until you see them together, how they interact with one another, and whether they can admit, you know, hey, that is a pretty good idea. I'm going to try and incorporate those ideas.
Well, now, obviously, the way this all should go, I like this. This is Honey Badger Mom talking about someone who is pushing for David Medina out on social media. There was a long thread about it. I chimed in on it as well, saying that just because of what you articulated too, and what we, you know, talked about, the J6 thing, the not having any policy experience, not really coming up with any policy stuff, that if he did win the primary, he can't win the general, so that gets you 4 more years of Kotek. And she's saying, this, of course, I want a very conservative governor. We all do. She said, but I don't live in a state where that is currently possible. And then another person is like, chimes in and says, yeah, you can be angry about it, but it's not going to change. This is kind of where you're like, get on team reality here. Mm-hmm. I get, you know, people want to vote with their heart. It's the same conversation we've had over and over. Well, I can't hold my nose. I can't vote for a pro-choice candidate. Well, then you're going to get Governor Brown, and you got her. Then you're going to get Tina Kotek. So are you really going to, do you need to make a point more than you need to maybe compromise and get a candidate in there that you can influence and push?
That's where I really fall on this stuff. I look at Oregon, you can divide the electorate into three things. You have the Democrats, which are going to vote D no matter what. You have the Republicans, and then you have the people sitting in the middle. Those are, you know, we hear it all every year. Those are the hearts and minds you need to sway to win an election. And I sit here and I go back, I look at some of the former runs for governor, and I go, the moderate Republicans struggled because while they're probably bringing in a lot of the middle of the road people, the hardcore conservatives aren't voting for them. Usually it's because of one issue. And I go, we need to recognize that we are no longer at a point where we can sit here and go, you know, it's been 40 years, but this Republican just doesn't do it for me enough. So let's go ahead and have 4 more years of Tina Kotek.
And the fact, and because the Democrats run on abortion as well, and it's in the Constitution, so it isn't an issue that can be really moved. And again, if you want, you need to have a place at the table. You need people elected to get in there. But if you refuse to vote for them because of one issue, then you get 40 years of tyranny of the Democrats. So you're making a point. I hope you feel good about yourself, but you basically doomed the entire state to 4 more years of tyranny because you can't compromise.
Grin and
I
bear
guess.
It. Yeah, and I'm putting that on the Republican Party. The Republican Party's ability to sit here and say, we know that Dudley is not your ideal choice. We know that Drazen, we know that whomever wins this primary election isn't your number one, but we need to all get behind it or else we're doomed. I mean, that's kind of the way it should be.
And those of us who have been out in the battlefields and in the trenches for decades see it happen over and over. And it's the most I have lost during election cycles, friends, because I try to say, please vote strategically. You want to vote for the person that can get into the general and beat the Democrat. It's probably not the one that ticks all your boxes as a hardcore conservative, and that sucks. But Oregon is not that state to do that in. Oregon is, and I always get, you know, you look at the map, well, look at all the red. And this is a cliche, but land doesn't vote. Portland decides it. The Portland area, the NAVs in those areas in Portland, Salem, and Eugene. It's the same thing in Idaho. You've got Boise driving it. North Idaho gets ticked off at that, but that's just the reality. So you need to think strategically and get somebody in there. And if that is a Chris Dudley, then my hope is if he wins the primary, everybody else, or if Ed Deal wins the primary, or Christine Drazen, or Danielle Bethel, that everybody else immediately comes out and messages and all their campaign money, you funnel to that person, everybody gets behind that person, then there's a chance.
Yeah. And that's what we need. We need to finally come together and take the little squabbles out of the equation, because in the long run, the little squabbles doom you. So we need to literally sit here and say, I mean, that's what we saw a few years ago when there were 6 people literally all around the 20% mark. Yeah. Christine Drazen wins it with 22% or whatever it was. And then a whole bunch of those that were right in the 18 to 20 range took their bags and they said, we're going home and we're taking everything we've built with us.
And we got Tina Kotek. And how's that been working out for everybody? I get frustrated. So I'm hoping, and I'm seeing a lot of that messaging out there that is coming from social media influence from Republican strategists. I'm also seeing, you know, candidates in other races dunking on the gubernatorial with the caveat, I wasn't going to weigh in, and then they dump and they weigh in. Just stop it. Concentrate on your own race. Mm-hmm. I don't need to hear your opinion about Christine Drazen didn't treat you well and didn't push your legislation. Concentrate on your own race, because we need those seats too. So focus, people, focus.
I just sit here and go, a claim like that is absolutely ridiculous. I'm sitting here going, Christine Drazen didn't push your thing. Did Tina Kotek push it for you? Because I'll guarantee she didn't. She probably stomped it out before you even came to her door.
I know. I guess the primary is the place to do all that, but I'm really hoping that voters tend to, and again, like I said, social media is not everything, but it is really, it's sad to see a lot of the comments of people just not understanding that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a beauty contest. It's who can win. And if you want to win, you've got to vote with your brain.
And there's the call to the ORP and the county Republican committees and every committee out there, every nonprofit, every, you know, politically motivated group to go out there and push the get out the vote, 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 vote. And let's rally the Republican base in the state to say,
amen,
we can make it too big to, you know, too big to play any games with if we all come out and do it. And then we allow the candidates to earn the votes of those NAVs and those undecideds.
And that's the key. And there's a real chance, because there is a uniquely unpopular, loathed governor sitting in Mahonia Hall right now that nobody likes. So the shot is there. This is the opportunity. So focus, focus. All right, let's take a break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
Oh, we love Cozy's. All right, we've talked about this. We knew it was coming. The trailer dropped today, the teaser. Netflix, here's your first official look at Little House on the Prairie. Meet the Ingalls family as they discover what home really means. Little House on the Prairie, based on the beloved books, premieres July 9th, only on Netflix.
Yeah, everything sounded so amazing, especially if you were a fan of the original Little House on
Loved
the Prairie.
It.
And then they throw in Netflix at the end, and your brain goes into question mode.
Well, and the thread is hilarious. And I love this. Peachy Keenan, I don't know if you follow her on X, she tweeted out, can't believe Netflix is glorifying colonizers on stolen land like this. But the comments are, yeah, people are like, no, no.
Yeah.
I don't want it. Why? No, no, no.
Yeah, and that's the problem, is we have all become so cynical of Hollywood and these streaming services when they're producing things. How are they working in the bisexuals? How are they working in the minorities? And how are they going to show this story as, you know, the white colonizers taking over? I'm just sitting here going, that'll be the question. I think judging by this teaser trailer, there's not a whole lot of that being seen yet.
I have to say, I thought it was good. It was like, okay, this looks pretty good. Although Mary is not blonde, and that's key, kind of the sisters were blonde, and so there's that. Carrie is not in it. They kind of dropped into Little House on the Prairie, so they're moving out of the big woods. I read all the books. I loved it. I am the age demographic where the series hit when I was a tween, I think, and I had the prairie hat. We had the hats. I mean, I absolutely adored the show, and I've gone back and watched it, and it still holds up. It's really great. Of course, there's all this issue with Melissa Gilbert now and the stuff going on with her husband and all of that. And so I don't know. But Michael Landon's vision for that and what he created was a beautiful piece of television. And to me, I'm like, leave it alone. I mean, is Hollywood really officially out of ideas? They've got to just revisit and reimagine everything. No, I won't be watching it. Of course, I don't have I dumped Netflix a couple of years ago. But and a lot of people are kind of like, yeah, no, no.
Well, I just sit here and go, we talk about the lack of ideas. I mean, what, the third season of The Conners without Roseanne just dropped.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing a updated remake of Scrubs.
Malcolm in the Middle.
And I'm just kind of going, when you take these classic shows and what are you doing for them? Or is this just trying to cash in on nostalgia at this point?
Because honestly, you know, if I had still had young kids and I wanted them to see Little House on the Prairie, I'm going out and I'm streaming them the original. Mm-hmm. Because it's still just that good. And all the acting and the characters and everybody who's in it, I mean, the storytelling, it's why would I want to see something new? When again, when they just mess it up, you're waiting, you know, literally the put a chicken and make her gay. Is that episode 3 of season 1, season 2? When are they going to do that?
Yeah. And that's the challenge with it. And you know, when does the family become the bad guys in this whole scenario? Because and that's sad to say, maybe we're fully wrong. Maybe this is going to be just as quality as the original, but it's Netflix and I don't have that faith.
Well, and it was also very strong on Christian faith. And, mm-hmm. you know, you had that was just threaded throughout the series. I have a feeling that thread has not been included in this version.
Yeah. And of course, you know, they always like to throw in some, you know, unnecessary nudity or, you know, kind of question mark places. Well, and
honestly, and I can't see anybody but Michael Landon as Pa.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't.
You can't.
All right. Well, also speaking of classic classic TV that we all grew up with, maybe not you, Hunter, because you're a baby, but was this your demo? Okay, first of all, it's Sid Croft, Land of the Lost creator. He's dead at 96. These fever dream LSD trip shows that we all grew up on. H.R. Puffin stuff, Sigmund and the Sea Monster, Lidsville, just with Witchy Poo and Charles Nelson Reilly, who I adored. He was fantastic. He is passed at 93. God bless him. And Land of the Lost, I wanted to be, I forget her name now, Holly. I wanted to be her. And then her older brother was cute and the slee stacks still haunt my nightmares.
Yeah, a lot of those were a little before my time. A lot of it, you know, you saw on syndication.
Yeah.
not on streaming. You saw them on syndication.
Right. Well, and we grew up with all of them. I mean, Johnny Whitaker was in them. And gosh, I'm trying to see, of course, H.R. Puffin stuff with the little magic flute and then Witchy Poo. And just everything about it was just so, it was wild and it was overwrought and it was super bright colors and it was hyper and it was over the top. And it was a blast. And we all remember it. So, 96, and it was Sid and Marty Croft. Also, gosh, he did Donnie and Marie too. Remember the Donnie and Marie show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again,
I love that
syndication
show.
Syndication stuff for me. But you know, speaking of those things, you did send me this little kind of tweet about a you know, on a poll. Are phones at dinner done?
Well, that's where is it? Will Kane tweeted that out. I thought this was interesting. Some restaurants, this is if you want to go, you know, to see, because they're going to make H.R. Puffin stuff into a movie. Trust me. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go have dinner in a movie and you go see H.R. Puffin stuff and you go to dinner, some restaurants are making you lock your phone away before you eat. And people are actually loving it. And there's a poll out there. And I clicked because it's easy. I check it once. I'd be stressing. I'm leaving. I clicked easy because I don't care. I'm fine. Yeah, but some people are so addicted to it. But do you think that's a good thing?
I don't know if I would require locking your phone up, simply because when I go to dinner with my wife, if our kids aren't with us, having the phone there in case the kids need something, there's circumstances where you kind of need the phone and have it available. So I wouldn't want it locked up, but I try and avoid it when I'm out at dinner every chance I get.
I would like, you know, maybe you get a free appetizer. I'll incentivize you to do it, but I don't want to be told to do it either. Because if somebody is here and the next thing you know, they'll be telling you what appetizers to eat or they won't serve you. And if someone is disturbing diners because of their phone use, post a notice. And that's the thing, too. If someone's like listening, which is so rude, or loud talking, and I know the mustache is listening to this because I do that, I tend to talk louder when I'm on a cell phone. I don't know if that's
it's because we no longer hold them up to our heads because they're not, you know, designed for the side of our heads. We have them on speaker phones. So now you're talking loud and the person you're talking to is talking loud and everyone around you is listening to your conversation.
And you're overlapping each other and I hate it. And that's why everybody texts. All right, everybody, that's it for us today. Go out and enjoy the day. Go watch some H.R. Puffin stuff or Little House on the Prairie, the originals. See you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.